As current and former fangirls, we embrace all the weird and wonderful corners of fan fiction. Our podcast is meant to share and comment on the works we find, never to bash or flame them. These fellow writers, fandoms, and fans have created things that we can all enjoy.
Welcome to Better Than Canon, the podcast about the best, worst, and weirdest quarters of fanfiction. I'm Haley.
And I'm Kathleen.
Today's topic was Jimmy Neutron. I never purposefully sought out Jimmy Neutron when I was younger, but I ended up watching a lot of it because it ended up being like a lot of filler for time slots in between like better shows. Not that I didn't like Jimmy Neutron, but it has better episodes.
Yeah, I agree with that. Especially since like SpongeBob and Fairly Odd Parents was on. Jimmy Neutron was kind of that weird thing where you're like, oh, they are doing 3D animation and they're also making it into a TV show, which is kind of weird, but...
And the art style from the beginning was a little like weird. Was it bad? It's just, especially in the TV show, the shading looked off to me a little. Sometimes the show was just weird. Like it just looked weird. Especially like you can tell it doesn't really work with any other style, like when they brought in Timmy from Fairly Odd Parents, and he just looked really fucked up.
Yeah, when they brought in Timmy and it was the Jimmy Tinnamy Power Hour.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Jimmy Neutron looked fine in Fairly Odd Parents style, but Timmy looked so weird.
Yeah, he was really fucked up, especially like Cosmo and Wanda. Because they have that kind of sharp neck. And then when they bring it into Jimmy Neutron, they're like really bulbous.
Yeah, they just looked so bad. Yeah, and then like when they made the video, like Nicktoons Unite, they all, like Danny didn't look quite right. SpongeBob looked okay.
I'm going to bring up something pretty cursed. Do you remember that live action thing that had Drake in it?
Yep. Sure do. I sure do. The Fairly Odd Parents, like when he's grown up or something.
Yeah.
I never watched it because it looked really bad, I'll be honest.
I did watch it because I was like, man, I was probably like 13 to 15. And I was like, well, I like Fairly Odd Parents, so we might as well take a look at it. And that was one of those other things. Like, it's just weird seeing a grown man in a pink t-shirt and a pink hat. That's
yeah, especially
hot.
When that man's now fled the country because he's a pedophile.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I saw stories about it like earlier because I was looking into just general Nicktoon stuff. Apparently he did just like leave the country.
So that's the real reason why Drake and Josh are no longer friends.
I would imagine, yeah, that would explain why I think it's Drake.
He wasn't invited to the wedding.
Yeah, like that'll do it.
Well, listeners, there you go.
There's your fun Nick fact for today.
There's your Nickelodeon tea. We served it hot.
Orange. Or wait, no, green. Ah, I screwed it up. No, like the green slime.
But it can be orange because the Nickelodeon logo was like orange.
An orange splat. It still is, isn't it? Or is it boring like most of their other programming now?
I think everybody's trying to make everything super sleek. So I think it's just a big N.
I want like early to mid 2000s and 90s like grunge, gross, kind of just busy stuff back. It's also like smoothed out and boring now, like design is.
Well, like SpongeBob in that one episode where he becomes normal.
Yeah. Yes. It'll come back at some point. So I have for us today two fan fictions, and I'm going to start out with one called Jimmy's Final Blast.
Oh.
From fanfiction.net. It's not very long. I'm going to skip past the first, though. Basically, the trio, Jimmy, Carl, and Sheen get together to just go on an adventure, and they randomly select a point on the map and just fly away.
Okay.
Carl noticed as Jimmy pressed his finger onto the map, it glitched out for a second and showed someplace else. Carl shook it off and thought of it as nothing. You see, guys, the Neutron Projectile 3000 features a brand new autopilot system that the Neutron Projectile 2000 didn't have. Jimmy explained and continued talking about the Neutron Projectile 3000's new features, ignoring the outside. Out of nowhere, the Neutron Projectile 3000 had gotten hit by an unknown object. The group had no idea what had happened, and Jimmy checked the Neutron Projectile 3000's security diagnostic screens as alarms went off. Jimmy turned to Carl and Sheen and then said, "A missile has hit the right wing. Good thing I added some extra shielding, but why would the USA attack one of its own citizens?"
Wait, what? The USA is attacking them?
Well, no, they just got hit by a missile. They don't know from where, and they're confused because, well, why would the USA shoot it? Them, their citizens. Can't they tell?
Yeah.
I guess Jimmy did come into contact with the military like a bunch of times throughout the series.
Yeah, because wasn't there that one episode where like they break into this military base to save someone?
Well, yeah, and like the original movie begins at a military base because Jimmy is just flying around in his ship. So they definitely have. Anyway. As the Neutron Projectile 3000 spun towards the ground with Jimmy ignoring the consequences. Soon having a rough collision with the ground, Jimmy and Sheen walk out of the Neutron Projectile 3000 in extreme pain, looking back to see that Carl had been killed. Jimmy
No! No! What the fuck?
This one just goes from like 1 to 100 really fast.
God damn it. He was like the best thing about that show.
I know.
It's not fair that he was like the butt of every joke.
I know. Carl was so good. And I'm just trying to read this as it's written. So
Sheen deserves to die because
wow.
He got
speaking of going from 1 to 100.
He got his own TV show.
That was so okay. Why did he get Planet Sheen? And like it had cameos from everyone else, but that was super weird and it lasted for a while too.
Yeah, I don't know. We could have looked at stuff for that, but
I didn't. I saw that there was stuff for it and I didn't.
Me neither. I didn't really want to acknowledge that it was something because it was like Sheen made his own fucking TV show.
Yeah, and I mean Sheen's they didn't pull, I don't remember enjoying it. I don't think they ever really pulled it off well. Like it wasn't horrible, but
so Sheen is the equivalent of that one meme with the kid who looks like he's cracked out of his mind. And then they're throwing the basketball at his head and he's screaming, "Ah!" Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't, but sure.
I'll have to show it to you later, but
okay.
That's pretty much who Sheen is, and he doesn't really deserve a TV show.
No. Anyway, so Jimmy filled with big guilt for what had happened and wondered how happened. Jimmy walked back to the Neutron Projectile 3000 to see that the map screen was still working. "Jumpin' Jupiter! We've landed in North Korea, but... Seeing the nearby city in the distance, Jimmy and Sheen walked towards it. On the way, Jimmy and Sheen had a talk. "You see what you've done, Jimmy, huh? Listen, Sheen, it was just a miscalibration. When we get back home, I can just clone Carl."
That's awful!
No, it's cool. Just grab his arm and we'll just make another one. It's all fine.
God, that's like that one episode in Rick and Morty when Morty dies or he goes to that new planet and he finds that he's dead and they bury both him and Rick and they have this existential crisis, except there's no existential crisis and there's no good writing here.
Nope. No good writing to be found, unfortunately. Also, they never use a pronoun or like a anything for Neutron Projectile 3000. Like they just keep I can't they just keep like listing it off and I have to keep saying the full thing every time. It's great. I agree. They walked into the unknown city. North Koreans littered the streets and moved out of the way to make a path for the two pale people that had just entered the city. The North Koreans were mumbling in a foreign language that Jimmy and Sheen couldn't understand.
Maybe Korean.
Korean.
I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, he's supposed to be a genius. He should put this together.
I know. Like, wow, what a weird foreign language they're speaking in North Korea. I wonder what it could be. Oh, geez. Okay. What are they saying, Jimmy? Well, I don't know, Sheen. You know what North Korea is like with keeping everyone within the country. How does that explain? explain the language. You know, they just keep them in the country. You know what they're like.
Well, they're obviously barbaric because they can't leave or do anything, so.
You know.
That's awful. North Korea is an awful place.
So, two army cars approach Jimmy and Sheen. Soldiers had gotten out of their vehicles and knocked out Jimmy and Sheen out.
Knocked out Jimmy and Sheen out.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thanks.
Jimmy woke up in a nice-looking office tied to a chair. He then sees Kim Jong-un enter the room in an Asian accent. Kim says...
No. Explain to me what that is.
It's an Asian accent.
Is it just a racist... Ching Chong thing? Is that what they're alluding to?
I think so. I mean, they don't even know what foreign language that the North Koreans are speaking, so. Oh, and I am not going to imitate an accent because it would just be bad.
Yeah, and it would probably be racist.
Yeah, but anyway, so in an Asian accent, Kim says, well, if it isn't the Neutron himself. You know me, Jimmy replied. Well, yes, you have helped us on many occasions, Jimmy. I would like to thank you. Kim then explained. Jimmy replied, oh, well, you're welcome, but I never helped you before? Kim then explained, the stuff you throw out gets sent over here. You have helped us develop nuclear bombs. And now it's time to nuke Retroville, Texas, United States of America, Jimmy Neutron. And that's listed off like it's a singular location. Like, I don't think he means Retroville and then Texas. And then the United States of America, like Retroville is in Texas, in the USA, and he lists it off like that.
I feel like Retroville will not be in Texas.
Apparently, I found a few other fan fictions noting that at least people in the fandom tend to agree that it's in Texas.
Well, that's a bad choice.
Kim then pulled a big red button and slammed his hand on it, because of course it's a big red button. I mean, if I was going to launch a nuke, which I... probably never would. I'd have a big red button. Big red evil button for the nuke.
Hey, whatever works, I guess.
The place started to rumble, and Jimmy saw a nuclear bomb fly into the air from outside the office's window. Jimmy started thinking hard. Come on, think. Brain blast! Jimmy had just remembered that his Neutron Projectile 2000 had a feature where you could call it over and it'd pull you into it. I summon the NP-2000, Jimmy shouted, and immediately afterwards it crashed through the wall and picked up Jimmy with the chair he was tied to. Goddard was waiting in the Neutron Projectile 2000 and helped untie Jimmy from the chair. I'd hate to break it to you, Mr. Oon, but Retroville's staying in business. Now I got a blast, Jimmy exclaimed excitedly. Jimmy had seen that the nuclear bomb was already halfway to Retroville. Goddard, do you have any leftover super bubblegum mobiles? Jimmy asked. Bark, bark, Goddard replied, dispensing 10 super bubblegum mobiles from his mouth. You and Judy Neutron are watching the news. Breaking news, a nuclear bomb has been launched by North Korea and is headed towards the city of Retroville, Texas, USA. The Anchorman broadcaster announced as nuclear sirens echoed the Retroville.
I'm pretty sure that everybody in the goddamn world knows where Texas is. We don't have to put USA at the end of it.
Especially when it's broadcasting to the city.
By the way, you guys are in the United States. I hope you didn't forget.
You're also, well, I guess maybe it's like a national thing.
You
like,
still don't have to say USA.
I don't know. Where's Jimmy? Judy asked concerningly. Hugh and Judy searched but couldn't find him. They tried entering his lab to use it as a bunker, but Vox 2000 kept denying access. Jimmy started flying next to the nuclear bomb and started chewing on all of the 10 super bubblegum mobiles. Listen, Goddard, I'm not gonna make it. Fly yourself home and please tell everyone that I'm sacrificing myself, but I felt that I deserve it after all the trouble I have caused. Jimmy said as he opened the Neutron Projectile 2000's window and jumped out next to the nuclear bomb. He started blowing the super bubblegum mobiles out and created a big giant bubble around the nuclear bomb. The world then went slow motion for Jimmy. He started talking to himself. I'm sorry for your death, Carl, even though you're a pussy. I'm sorry, Sheen, for keeping you in North Korea. You kinda deserve it, prick. And to the rest of Retroville, you all treated me like an asshole. Except you, Cindy. You're...
What do you mean, except Cindy? She treated him the worst.
Except for you, Cindy. You're one fine-ass looking babe. Well, got a blast.
No. No, that's not okay.
Everyone on the ground looked up and saw Jimmy in the Super Bubblegum Mobile with the nuclear bomb nearing the city. It hit the bottom of the Super Bubblegum Mobile and exploded within the bubble, keeping everyone in the city safe. The Super Bubblegum Mobile started floating upwards into space, containing all of the nuclear aftermath within it, and every citizen of Retroville celebrated Jimmy Neutron's heroic sacrifice. Hugh and Judy were very proud of their son's act, but Carl and Sheen's parents were devastated about their children's disappearance. It is still unknown whatever happened to Sheen. The end.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't understand. Why do you, how do you find all of these weird government ones?
I don't know. I just saw Jimmy's final blast and I thought it was a weird sex thing.
It sounds like a weird sex thing.
Yeah. And this one was a trip reading it.
I don't know if I'm ever going to recover.
I've yet to recover from finding it, but it just, like, it's listed as adventure tragedy, and I don't think it's supposed to be parody. I think it's just, like, some kid was looking up stuff about North Korea, and it was like, yeah, wouldn't it be cool if this happened, and then just...
Maybe they watched one of those million movies about it.
Yeah, maybe. It also just, I love that he just blows bubbles around the nuclear bomb. And they got that from the movie. And in the movie, it just, like, hits a tree and bursts. But it contains a nuclear bomb in this. Not that I should really even be, like, digging into the mechanics of this.
This author said that people in Korea were speaking in an Asian accent. I think you can say whatever the fuck you want.
This person's probably was probably like 12 when they wrote this. It was written in 2018 though.
That's way too recent for me.
And the only other fan fiction that they have written is about Roblox. So they're clearly just like a child.
Yeah.
But still, that one was pretty good. So this one is called In the Workshop. I'm going to skip around a bit. It is not very long. Hey, Sheen. Dark brown eyes slid from the half-open comic book sprawled across the teen's lap to the face of his childhood friend, obscured as it was by a protective metal mask. His telltale curl of brown hair looped absurdly over the top of the mask, lank with sweat, and Sheen vaguely wondered why it hadn't caught on fire from the stray sparks yet. Would you mind handing me the measuring tape? It seems my initial figures might be a tad bit offset, he said with a chuckle. His boyish voice may have been dulled with the onset of puberty, but his laugh was still as it was in fifth grade, dorky and childish. Sure thing, Sean Estevez said with a shrug, sliding his comic into the chair as he stood.
You called him Sean.
Oh, I did. Okay, sorry, let me try. Now we're keeping it. Yeah, Sheen. My brain auto-corrected it for some reason.
Every time I see Sheen written, I want to say Sean as well.
I know, it's like, it's, I don't even understand why our brains want to do that.
Because Sean is S-E-A-N and Sheen is S-H-E-E-N, which is really close.
Yeah, that
because
would be
because Sheen sounds fucking horrible.
I mean, it fits his character, though.
It does, but if you ran into a kid and his name was Sheen, come on.
I'd wonder, maybe if I ran into a kid like that, their parents are just really big Jimmy Neutron fans.
Probably.
That'd be super weird. I don't want to.
It's better than Naruto.
So
Baruto. Oh.
Jimmy's just super invested into this science experiment. And Sheen's just thinking about how it's pushed most of his, like, friends away except for Sheen. Because they're teenagers now. Reopening his comic, Sheen submersed himself once again into the valiant efforts of Captain Lightning. His intense love for Ultralord, too, had changed after puberty. The obnoxiously jawed hack was too kiddish anymore. Captain Lightning was a bit more interesting. Blood, guts, explosions, smutty heroines. The things every 18-year-old boy thrived on. Captain Lightning himself was a bit more masculine. His pitch black latex uniform was drawn tight across the muscular veins of his chest, his arms, electric yellow lightning bolts on the heels of steel-toed boots, and plastered on the black leather of his cape denoted his superpower. The ability to shoot lightning bolts, of course.
So, was that mildly erotic to you?
We'll get there.
Okay, so is this a Jimmy Sheen fanfic?
We'll get there.
I want to know.
We're getting there. You gotta wait.
I had to sit through a trope where they describe in detail what this superhero's wearing. Yeah. Why do I have to wait?
Because we're almost there, okay? He exuded a godlike presence, one that Sheen found interesting. His eyes meandered over the next panel, a full body shot of the hero. His lip curled into a self-assured sneer as one of the bad guys groveled at his boots. His cape trailed behind him, ragged at the edges, and his spiked black hair was tossed to one side in the wind. Sheen's eyes trailed down the length of the hero's frame, muscular, demanding. Between his legs, Sheen noticed with an awkward blush, Captain Lightning boasted a rather large bulge, enhanced by the tight latex. Sheen found himself focused on that bulge, the outline of the powerful hero's sex, and felt his own quiver within his dark jeans. Blushing further still, Sheen glanced furtively between the back of his chair and Jimmy. Prodigy was still enthralled by the creation of his own thinking, toiling away behind a blowtorch, face hidden by the mask. Admittedly, Sheen ran his free hand over his clothed member, shuddering slightly at the sensation. He glanced down at the comic, then sneakily back at Neutron. He wouldn't even notice, would he? Not if I do it quick enough.
Oh no! No! You go to the bathroom!
Quietly, so he wouldn't be heard over the whoosh of the blowtorch, Sheen unbuttoned his jeans, sliding into his boxers with a small, shuddering sigh of joy. Producing his cock, already swollen and hot with excitement, Sheen pushed down the elastic of his boxers to expose his balls to the somewhat cool air of the workshop.
I don't need to know about his balls.
He was clean-shaven, a habit he insisted with meticulous fervor, and the tip of his cock glistened with a few drops of pre-cum. So he starts jerking off to Captain Lightning, with Jimmy just doing a thing. Like, he doesn't even go to the bathroom or anything.
Just right there.
Just right there.
As friends do. You know, I do that to you all the time.
Yeah. And then you keep going, and there's this line. His balls bounced on the taut elastic of his boxers, hot with arousal, and Sheen prepared himself to orgasm.
No. No.
Is that how that works? So basically, Jimmy turns around, and he just kind of keeps the comic book up, and Jimmy doesn't notice that he's jerking off. Jimmy starts walking away from Sheen.
Okay, good. I mean... That's just, okay, let's just talk about this for a second. That's really fucking rude.
Yeah!
At the least, it's very rude.
Yeah, so,
with Thanksgiving coming up, don't do that.
Don't just jerk off in a common area.
Or
yeah.
Whatever other holidays. This will probably come out after Thanksgiving, but just don't do that. Hot tip for teens, don't jerk off in front of your friends and hide it.
Not that kind of hot tip. Just a pro tip. We'll call it. No, wait, not that either. No.
I don't want Sheen's hot tip.
Okay.
Now I know how you feel when I read erotic things to you, because I am so uncomfortable.
Exactly. But I'm not finished, so buckle up.
Neither is he.
So yeah, he basically just pretends to be asleep, and Jimmy goes, "Did I wake you up, sleepyhead?" Sheen nodded slowly, feeling his dread return as Jimmy approached him. Walking to the door of the lab, Jimmy turned. "You coming?" Sheen felt his cock jump with arousal at the dual meeting to Neutron's question and smiled. "Yeah, just a second." Neutron shrugged, opening the door and walking out. "I'll be up at the house. I'm starving." Sheen watched Jimmy walk away, saw his friend's ass, so perfectly tight in those jeans, so luscious. He began to stroke his cock once more beneath the cover of the comic, fast and hard.
Again?
Imagining Jimmy's mouth over it.
No!
His tongue caressing the tip.
Sheen, get some help!
With each bob of his head, his bright blue eyes staring up at him, he ejaculated with a whispered moan, hips jolting upward with ferocity as his arousal left him.
No.
He bit his lip, blushing hot with morbid shame and arousal, and flipped the comic over his knees.
Good.
The pages splattered with cum.
Good. You should feel shame.
His cock twitched as it expelled the last of it, growing limp as the arousal faded. Giddy with taboo lust, he willed Jimmy to look back once more before going up the stairs, to see his cock lip against his belly, wet with cum, and to know how badly he wanted him. And that's it. Oh, but he never turned back. And that's it.
I think I ran into this one, but I didn't read the whole thing.
You missed out.
No, well, I did not miss out because you brought it to me.
You're welcome. So, what'd you think?
at least they were 18. There were a bunch of fanfics that I found where they were not 18, and that was not okay.
That was a lot of the ones I found, too. Like, they were interesting and kind of funny, but it was just too wildly inappropriate to be comfortable. This one, they did age them up to be 18, at least. Still uncomfortable, but it's like, okay, it's a little better.
I mean, I guess it makes more sense with Sheen, the weird kid, doing that. If any of them were going to do that.
Yep, it does, I guess.
I don't ship that, by the way.
No, me neither. Mostly the most popular ship by far seems to be just Jimmy and Cindy.
Well, yeah, it was then, pretty much canon.
And then there's Sheen and Libby, which is also pretty much canon.
Yeah, and then Carl doesn't get anybody.
Sometimes Carl gets Jimmy.
Sometimes. Sometimes Carl gets Jimmy's mom.
Yeah.
I did find a couple fix of that, but I didn't bring that today.
Oh, man, I saw the thing you posted on Twitter, though. Or wasn't it Twitter?
Jimmy's mom. I don't know.
Yeah, that one. You'll be able to find it, listeners, and it's choice. It's real good.
Yes.
So I want to rate these bad boys. One more bad than the other.
Okay. So a scale of 1 to 10, 5 and 6 being normal fan fiction, 1 being terrible funny, and 10 being amazing. Everybody should read it, but still weird. I'm going to give the North Korea one a 3. Because it's weird, but it was obviously written by a kid, and it's not something that's going to haunt me forever. It's just one of those, like, fan fiction has certain tropes, and North Korea has not gotten into its own trope thing yet, so I think it's interesting.
Yet, it's coming up. It's a...
I don't know. World War II has its thing, and there's a bunch of other stuff, yeah. But...
I could see North Korea being a thing.
It's creative, if not weird. And then... Sheen jerking off in front of Jimmy. Oh.
And lusting after Jimmy. After lusting after a superhero.
Unfortunately, I'm going to give this a 5 because that's pretty standard fanfiction fare.
That's true.
As much as I didn't enjoy you reading that to me, like, sitting across from your best friend reading erotica to each other is just not a normal thing to do. But if I was lusting over Jimmy and Sheen... It would be fine.
Oh, yeah. This is pretty, like, normal. It's just weird to me just because it's, like, I expect that kind of stuff with, like, Zelda or, like, Danganronpa. But Jimmy Neutron having smut. It was, like, I didn't find it as much. Like, it's a little more difficult to find it, especially when it's not parody. And this, it was just, so weird.
Yeah. I'm still sticking with 5, though.
Yeah. I'd probably do the same. I'd probably do... Yeah, I hate copying you, but I agree on your ratings.
All right. Well, guess we're going to go to break. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. I hope you've toweled off since our encounter with Sheen Estevez. Unlike normal, I have brought some weird stuff, but they're not... I mean, one of them might be sexual in nature, but a lot of what I found was not.
Yeah, it's kind of like Thomas, where a lot of the stuff I was finding was just kind of normal Jimmy Neutron episodes, but with the added perk of Jimmy and Cindy being together, that being more of a focus.
Yeah, Jimmy and Cindy pretty much overwhelmed everything that I was looking at. So I think I'm going to start with this one, because this one isn't nearly as sad. It's called Fairly Odd Parents and Jimmy Neutron X-Over, rated M.
I want a soundbite of the game ratings guy going, rated M for mature.
I bet we could find something similar. I'm just going to start reading. The paragraphs are really freaking long, so it's going to be awful to read. We'll get there. Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dinsdale Dimmadome, was going on his late morning, early afternoon walk when he spotted Timmy Turner and some mysterious children he did not know enter a portal behind some bushes. Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dinsdale Dimmadome's, curiosity was naturally piqued by this occurrence, so he went to investigate. As he strolled over to the portal, his huge, throbbing hat fell off balance and he was thrown into the portal. Immediately, a whole world flashed before his eyes. There was something off about it, but before he could figure out what it was, he smashed his face into the concrete sidewalk and everything went black. He woke up with a throbbing headache. The sun was setting and he felt something was different. He took a minute to regain his composure when he realized what it was. The world was in three dimensions. He was astonished and went to adjust his hat when he realized it was not there. He searched all around him but couldn't find it. Then he heard something coming from the distance. He heard a voice of a young foreign child. It was a faint slap, 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 clap, clap, clap. A retro flyer wagon appeared over the horizon, being pulled by a capuchin monkey. Standing in the wagon was the most magnificent man Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome, had ever laid eyes on.
Can I just, so I hated in mine having to read the Neutron Blaster 3000 over and over again, but I love that, I respect and love that Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome, is written out entirely every time.
Yeah, I can skim this and all I see is Doug Dimmadome, Dimmsdale Dimmadome, Doug Dimmadome. It's just in here all over.
When you close your eyes, you just see those words.
He had the dance moves of an angel. He spun around while slapping his thick, meaty thighs and clapping his hands above his head, chanting his melodical song. The spinning showed off his strong, manly curves. The seam of his pants stretched out in front, only to be held back by his sweet sweater vest, which engulfed the large bulk he had in his upper abdomen. Although Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome, knew that this bulk was nothing compared to the bulk that had to be in his lower abdomen. On a hot summer day like this, his neck sweat glistened and brought attention to the bow tie on the young performer. It must have been strangling him since the strap seemed so tight. Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome's eyes, were then blinded as the sun glistened perfectly off the part down the middle of his hairline. As he turned around, the sun faded, and Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome, was revealed to the face of God himself. The boy's eyes drew him in like the fiery passion that drives two lovers to the edge.
Where did you find this one?
This is on fanfiction.net.
I didn't see this one when I was looking.
Actually, the title is Life With and Without Bulby Stroganovsky.
Bulby. He was the true best character. He was the best boy in that show.
Yeah. This is like halfway through the first paragraph.
Oh my gosh. I love the attention to detail.
Yeah. Like, it's just this moment where Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome, he looks at Bulby and falls in love with him, and he finds him holding up a sign that says Bulby for president.
Hell yeah, it's Daddy Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Daddy Dome.
Oh no. But yeah, so his angel was named Bulby. Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome, realized he must find this Bulby so he might make mad love to his curvy, sweaty body. Just the thought of it made his mustache tingle. His attention was quickly changed when he felt a hand was placed on his back. He looked up and saw a tall man with thick glasses and one leg longer than the other. He was holding a box of donuts. "You look like you could use a donut, Mr. Stranger," he exclaimed with an almost arrogant excitement. Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome, was rather famished. He accepted the gift and ate it lickety-split, the stranger awkwardly hovering over him as he did.
Wait, so which character? I don't remember. Am I like off on my lore? I don't remember who this character is. With one like longer than the other.
I don't know who this character is either.
Their OC.
I don't know. He's like, I guess once he gets done eating the donut, the guy runs away going, "Another civilian saved by Donut Boy," and then he runs away.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it's just a lot of this.
Do they actually like get together?
I think so. Yeah, because he finds the school because Bulby's running for class president, and then they hook up. Yeah, and they have sex. Uh-huh.
I like hearing you skip through it.
Slowly, Bulby Stroganovsky appeared around the corner and hopped into the seat across from him. Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmesdale Dimmadome, began to speak, but Bulby reached over the table and placed a single finger over his mouth. He grabbed Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmesdale Dimmadome's hand, and pulled him to the door. He began skipping down the sidewalk, waving hello to everyone that walked by. This was the beginning of a great relationship. Everywhere they went, they skipped. They skipped through parks, through fields of flowers, through the petting zoo. They would skip and skip and wave to everyone that passed, and every night before returning Bulby home, he would utter those four little words, and they would make sweet, sweet love. This was their routine every day. He would skip him to school, then pick him up from school, and skip until his bedtime. No words ever uttered except that phrase. This was love at its purest form.
Hold on, what's the phrase?
Bulby not wearing underpants.
Oh, good. Glad I asked. I thought it was, I was like, slap, 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 clap, clap, clap is too long. So it's not that, even though I want it to be. But I think Bulby not wearing underpants, it's pretty good.
Oh, the fanfiction ends when Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmesdale Dimmadome, finds Bulby with a stranger.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he hears Bulby say, "Bulby not wearing underpants," and then the self-proclaimed donut boy was the person that Bulby cheats on him with.
No!
Which is rather unfortunate.
Poor Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmesdale Dimmadomes.
Well,
his poor heart.
Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmesdale Dimmadome, kills himself because he falls off a ladder in his own world because he realizes that, quote, life without Bulby Stroganovsky is not a life worth living.
I mean, I agree, but there's other ways to get your Bulby fix, man.
This fan fiction is a little over 3,000 words. It was written by Megas Beselius.
Okay.
It does say that this takes place during the Jimmy Timmy power hour. So canonically,
oh good, I can finally place that on my little like canon map right there.
Yeah, well, I know you have one in your bedroom above your bed.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that you can keep everything straight.
Mm-hmm. Josh wants me to take it down, but I'd rather die.
You'd rather die. Well,
I'll fall off my ladder before I take down my Jimmy Neutron canon map.
So that was that one. Another satire piece that was extremely well written. This one is very sad. I found this one on Archive of Our Own, and I'm not going to tell you what it's called. We're just kind of going to go.
Okay. Those are the best ones, but also maybe the worst ones?
Yeah. Jimmy opened damp eyes and stared blearily from his bed. From nothing, shapes began to form. Old friends, Cindy and Libby, Bulby. He noticed a sweet autumnal smell wafting from the window, leaves and water fermenting. His friends had grown old. Cindy and Libby sat on wooden chairs, back straight, positions and movements harmonized. They had each began to look like each other. Libby was distracted, picking at something on her fingernail, but Cindy had noticed Jimmy was awake. She observed him, waiting for him to make a sound. Jimmy decided to stay silent a while longer. Bulby's remaining hair was slicked back in two greasy streams. Large rings bearing semi-precious stones constricted his corpulent fingers. His eyes shone dully. His now yellowed teeth stuck out as they always had. Even now, he smiled. It was good of him to come all this way, Jimmy thought to himself, but there was an absence. Jimmy cleared his throat and spat the yellow sputum. All eyes clicked onto him. He began to speak. "Where is Carl?" he croaked, smoothing out the flaccid curl of his hair with his bony fingers. "Goddard went to get him from the farm," Cindy responded. "He should be here any second." "I see."
So did Jimmy, like... So they're all old and, like, at the end of their lives, it sounds like?
Yes.
Including Jimmy?
Yes.
Did Jimmy, like... So is he in, like, a coma or something? Or are they just all... Or is he just asleep?
He's, like, on his deathbed.
Oh, okay. No, that makes more sense.
Yeah, so he's dying.
What? Oh! What's... That is so sad. Why'd someone write this like Jimmy Neutron on his deathbed with surrounded by friends? It's weirdly wholesome but also sad. I
don't know. Goddard brings Carl, and he flies in through the window and brings Carl, and then he's like, I need to talk to Carl alone. How are you? Jimmy asks. It's good, so good to see you. It's been years. I'm good, Jimmy. The farm's good. All the llamas are healthy. He pulled out a croissant from his jacket pocket and began to munch. That's great, Carl. It's good that after everything that happened, you finally got what you wanted. The room grew silent. After a few seconds, Carl spoke. Jimmy, you don't still blame yourself, do you? I mean, after all, if you hadn't been there, a lot more people would have died. Again, silence. Jimmy's smiles dropped. And if it wasn't for me, would the Twonkies have even come back in the first place? Jimmy, you saved the world more times than I can count. Your inventions were brilliant. They really were. I can't believe you quit. From what they tell me, you don't make anything anymore. All you have left is Goddard. A twinkle in Jimmy's eye. Carl, what if I told you I never actually quit inventing? Goddard, activate Protocol Gilgamesh Alpha. Bark, bark! The room began to whir. The drab, faded wallpaper was replaced by steel plates and twisting, crisscross wires. Meters spun and oscillated. Exhaust vents whistled. Great vats of translucent green slime slid into view. Carl's face blanched bone white. In the center of the room, a cylindrical chrome-plated pedestal rose from the floor. Atop it, a helmet. Its shape was an almost perfect hemisphere, the bottom filled and padded with red velvet. It was studded with lights like shining gems, inscribed with copper-filled wedges. Dials sat in a neat row, all set to zero, awaiting their guiding hand. Jimmy, what is all this? Carl had finished his croissant and was now eating his second, terrified.
Okay.
An old light flooded Jimmy's eyes, one that Carl had not seen for decades, but this was something different. Maybe it was that it was shown from an old man incapacitated in bed, but the light felt inappropriate, profane, perhaps unholy. Goddard, place the vivadome on my head. Goddard heeded his master, gently placing the implement on his head. To support himself, he rested the heavy headpiece on the bed frame. Sheen was a wild man. He was totally vital. Really, he never stopped. Jimmy's still shining eyes brimmed with tears. When we lost him, I had my final brain blast. If death could extinguish a flame like that, it does not deserve its dominion over man. Since then, I have worked in secret, designing a device that will free us from the shackles of mortality. Croissant crumbs dropped from Carl's gaping mouth. Jimmy, I don't think you can. Carl, help me turn it on, for old time's sake. But Carl did not stir.
Jimmy Neutron, old boy genius, defeats death.
Yes.
Okay.
Fine. If you are paralyzed by your fear of death, so be it. I will conquer the enemy the only way I know how. Once I activate the Vivadome, it will only take 7 seconds for my mortality to be cured. My only regret is that he never had the chance to use it. Goddard, activate the Vivadome! Goddard stretched out his neck and twisted the knobs with his metallic beak. Jimmy's pupils dilated. He began to scream. Pain unlike any he had ever felt before flowed through every vein, every capillary of his weakened body. His eyes shot around in terror, like a wild beast caught in a fatal snare. His gaping mouth began to scream, then the screaming stopped, replaced by a forced, choked exhale of his breath. And after 5 seconds, Jimmy Neutron collapsed. The Vivadome fell from his head and shattered on the floor. Cindy, Libby, and Bulby burst in to see Jimmy slumped over and Carl's wide eyes filled with terror. A stream of drool began to form onto Jimmy's bottom lip. His breathing was shallow. The room reverted slowly, steel replaced with faded wallpaper. Carl was paralyzed, his eyes still screaming, his mouth still agape. In his shock, all he could sense was a sweet autumnal smell wafting from the window, leaves and water fermenting.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, no. That's a really open ending.
Yeah, except that, I mean, Jimmy's dead.
Well, yeah, I thought like he was going to put that on and then it was going to like upload his consciousness or something. Huh, so he's just like, don't worry, Carl, I've defeated death, and then he just dies.
Yeah, he tries to defeat death with science, and then he dies horribly.
Well, it sounds like it was really well written.
Yeah. I mean, it's really well written. It's just
weird.
Why? Why would you write this?
I don't know.
Also, they killed Sheen off, which I guess is, I don't know.
I found another one that was sci-fi where Sheen was dead, and it was really hard to follow because it kept switching POVs, but like he hid the fact that Sheen had died or something. So I found a few where it's like if you're a fan fiction creator and you need to kill someone off for like traumatic purposes, apparently the go-to is Sheen.
Yeah. I mean, Sheen's, you either love Sheen or you hate Sheen. Either you're like, yay, Sheen's dead, or you're like, damn it, why'd they kill Sheen? I feel like Carl is the same way.
I don't ever really think of Jimmy Neutron enough to put myself in either camp, but
I remember watching it and my little brother really liked Sheen, which
I could absolutely see him liking Sheen.
Which is like part of the reason why I'm like, oh, Sheen's annoying, but it's a kid's show.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's got a weird kid's show. I don't know. It was kind of an odd duck.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Now I get to choose out of the three that I have left which one I should read to you.
Okay, just give me the titles.
I don't have the titles. I have my categories for them.
Oh, okay.
Carl's a racist. Carl, Sheen, Jimmy, satire. And this is from that website that I was telling you about.
Oh, the adult one?
Yeah, cartoon.adult-fanfiction.org. And then there's Jimmy or Timmy Jimmy Science Fair. There are no wrong answers.
Oh boy.
Oh, I forgot one. Cindy tortures Jimmy.
Oh no, not that one. I read through enough weird stuff as it is with torture while I was looking. We could maybe save the Jimmy Timmy one for a Fairly Odd Parents one, so let's not do that. Carl is a racist. Sounds so funny.
While I was looking here on Archive of Our Own, I found another one with Cindy and Trixie, but it was clearly written, like they're shipped together, but it was clearly written by a male for a male audience because it was very offensive.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, they're like going at it in the park. Trixie Tang from Fairly Odd Parents going at it with Cindy, and she has her hands in her pants, and she calls Cindy a white trash whore.
Oh, yeah. Cool. The thing that girls do to each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, finger each other in the park and calling each other white trash whores.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So I'm bringing you guys to cartoon.adult-fanfiction.org. It's slash fiction. It's called Blasting Off, a Menage a Trois, as you know.
Okay.
So Jimmy comes home and he's pissed off because Cindy decides to hang out with Libby at a club and he wanted to get his rocks off. So he comes home and he's like pissed off. And he's like, it was as if that bitch was depraving Jimmy intentionally. She had become less and less appealing to Jimmy over the years, and now that they were at Retroville University, she was taking every opportunity to attend some fraternity party with Libby. Probably off blowing some frat guy, Jimmy thought bitterly. This is very much the same kind of language that was used in that other one.
It's Jimmy's got some neckbeard energies going on.
I feel like he would.
Big neckbeard energy. I could totally see it. Kind of the like introverted scientist. It's like either that or he's like incredibly nice and sweet.
Exactly. So he comes home and he sees Carl on the sofa because they room together. Poor Carl. Never to get laid. Never had a girlfriend. Always carrying some weird kind of Oedipus complex. Never had a glow-up. Carl was still clad in his trademark glasses, poorly fitted green pants, and that hideous orange button-up with darker orange suspenders. Jimmy snorted. Suspenders? No wonder Carl never got brought... No wonder Carl never brought home any pussy. Jimmy suspected Carl was closeted and too much of a wuss to do anything about it. Not that he could say anything about it to Cindy. She jumped down his throat about making marginalized minorities look bad or whatever, because Carl Weezer does not have enough fashion sense, or any sense for that matter, to be gay.
That poor... That... Oh my gosh, yeah! Are they intentionally making Jimmy like this, or are they just like self-inserting themselves into Jimmy? Poor Carl doesn't deserve this just because his parents dressed him funny.
No. So he talks about he and Sheen are the only people who to acknowledge him. Jimmy paused in the middle of his brooding. Brain blast! Jimmy sneered and stalked over to where his unsuspecting roommate was lounging on the couch.
Oh no.
Carl peered up at him fearfully, big doe-like brown eyes widening as though he was afraid of what Jimmy would do next. Jesus, Carl acted like the world was out to get him. Jimmy? Carl wheezed nervously, twiddling his fingers. Jimmy jumped on the couch and straddled Carl. Jimmy always thought the fat ginger had some sort of crush on him in any way, with what Carl following him around like a lost puppy who could never find his way. Cindy's gone, Carl. It's just us. Jimmy groaned as he rubbed his thick, rigid rod against Carl's stomach, which, by the way, was not fat. It was festively rotund.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Wow, this pussy Carl can't get any chicks. I'm going to give him a good dickin', and that'll fix things. That's like, there's this game called Harvester, and there's this old guy that's like hitting on this this single mom who doesn't have a guy in her life, and he's like lamenting how it's like, oh, what she needs is a good dickin', and you're like,
yeah.
Just...
yeah.
No.
So yeah, he goes up and he's like, yeah, let's fuck. And he's like,
let me please you, Jimmy.
Carl always watched from afar, hating that blonde skank Cindy and her slimy hands whenever they touched the object of his affection. Unbeknownst to Jimmy, Carl had a hit list and was planning on offing the bitch anyway.
Oh my god.
It just... I'm pretty sure this is satire because they talk about his turd-shaped hair and stuff like that, but it's still just very derogatory.
Yeah. Probably like some guy that's like 4chan adjacent. I'm gonna write this silly Jimmy Neutron fan fiction and make it like horrible. Or it's like, I can't tell if it's satirizing, I think that's how you say it, the Jimmy Neutron gang, or if it's just like, this is funny and I think like this, so I'm going to write like this. Like, I genuinely don't know, which is very 4chan.
Yeah, I don't know either. Sheen comes in and watches them doing their thing, and he's like, I want in on this.
Yeah.
Is there room for one more? Sheen inquired slyly. To Jimmy's utter shock, Carl invited him over eagerly. That's it. Carl was their ginger bitch. This had always been an easy living arrangement for Jimmy, and he could see it was only going to get easier. Fuck Cindy. To be completely honest, Jimmy always saw Sheen as eye candy, what with his tan skin, dark spiky locks, and lanky figure.
I mean, like, I could see some artists out there taking Sheen and turning him into, like, a cute, like, stoner twink in college, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Like that, it's just so weird. It's like, but I don't see that when I think of Sheen. I see the like really weirdly shaped cartoon Sheen. And I can't.
Yeah, I know. And apparently Sheen's still carrying around Ultra Lord. Oh, this? Sheen raised his eyebrow. This, Jimmy, this is my favorite toy. And he took it out. Only it wasn't the figurine Sheen used to lug around during their childhood years. It was an Ultra Lord-shaped dildo, and Sheen was about to put it in Jimmy's ass.
I mean, props to him for finding that, I guess.
I guess Ultra Lord is like an anime girl now with big titties where there's so much shit for that, except it's Ultra Lord and you can find stuff like that in this world.
Ultra Lord is the Hatsune Miku of the Jimmy Neutron universe. You've heard it here first, folks.
You're welcome. But yeah, then they fuck and they climax, and then Jimmy's like, I don't need Cindy. He knows where his home is now.
Good for him. Maybe cut down a bit on the...
What, you don't like that?
No.
This is by Teacups and Mints. It's G plus through L is the category.
Huh. That's all I have to say is just kind of, huh. All right.
Yeah. So this is this beautiful new website I found for Jimmy Neutron fanfiction. I was having a really hard time looking on Archive of Our Own, so I was just like, Jimmy Neutron fanfiction, and it brought up this brand new website.
So occasionally I'll search, and that's how you find like really weird websites, because usually we'll just go to archive of our own or fanfiction.net and then kind of move on from there. I've tried Tumblr and DeviantArt before. They're a little more difficult to search on just because they'll pull up all sorts of stuff that isn't necessarily like fan fiction.
Yeah.
Like fan art or just like meme posts. Specifically, Tumblr does that.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes Googling it gives weird results. But anyway.
So if you were going to rate the Doug Dimmadome and Bowlby fan fiction.
Doug Dimmadome was like a solid 4. Or maybe six, I don't know. It's clearly like parody, and it was well written, but it was kind of like intentionally goofy. So it's like it was good, but it wasn't like gonna haunt me at night or something. It was a good laugh though, and I respect it. What was the other one?
The other one was Jimmy on his deathbed.
Jimmy on his deathbed was like also like a 3, because it wasn't. It was just depressing, but it was, again, it was pretty well written, and I don't understand it, and it was just sad. It was like miserable, but it was interesting. Like I didn't expect that to be brought to the table tonight. And the last one,
the Jimmy sandwich.
Yeah. Give that like a 2. It was so bizarre, and I can't tell if the like offensive stuff was in there to make fun of neckbeards or because like it was a neckbeard. I'm sure if I looked at their other stuff it'd be pretty easy to figure out, but it was just weird.
Yeah. I tried to look at their other stuff, but they didn't set up a profile, and the way the website works, it doesn't like link everything like that.
Yeah,
so
yep,
who knows.
Yeah, that was interesting though.
So for the Doug Dimmadome, I'm gonna give that a 6, because I just liked it.
It was pretty good. I did like it too.
I did not like that Bowlby was still a child. That's not cool. But I did like...
It wasn't there for... That's a weird thing. It's like it also wasn't there for like enjoyment though. It was a meme pairing. It's just really weird.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 6. The Jimmy dying, I'm going to give a 2, because I don't know. Like, you could write that about something else. Jimmy Neutron isn't exactly a thing that there's a ton of fan fiction for, so like
there is a surprising about, but yeah, not like that much.
Like, people are not gonna go and find this and be like, wow, your writing is so great. It's just weird. And then the last one, I think I'm gonna agree with you that it's gonna get a 2.
Yeah, because it's...
Because like you said, it's on that edge of just being offensive for no reason and being seriously offensive for no reason. But then there's parts of it that are obviously satire. And you're like, well, I don't know if it's making fun of people who actually think this way. So...
Yeah, and it was entertaining. Like, it did that, so...
Yeah. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to help us boost our ratings and reach, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Better Than Canon. You can also find us on Facebook at our page, Better Than Canon. If you have any suggestions for stories or fandoms, you can email us at betterthancanonpod@gmail.com or tweet at us with your suggestions. Please rate and review on your favorite podcasting... Please rate and review on your favorite podcast listening platforms, especially if you listen on Apple Podcasts, because that would help us out a lot. And you guys should tweet at us.
Your favorite Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome crack pairings.
Yes. Give us your favorite Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome crack pairings. And once again, thanks for listening.
I love you.
I love you too.